I like that phrase, the good hand of God was upon Ezra. Can we be a person of character that God would put his good hand upon us? Let's look at the character of Ezra and see what it takes for God to put his good hand on us. Before we get into the lesson, I want to add my welcome to everyone that's here. It's good to see so many people with us. We've had a long month, and with the passing of Ron at the beginning of the month and the passing of Phil just a couple days ago, and it should drive home to all of us the importance of being ready. You know, it's a sad time, but it's a joyous time, and we grieve with those that have lost loved ones and want to comfort them and let them know that we are there for you, to help you any way we can. But it's also a joyous time because these two Christian men left this world of pain and suffering to go to paradise to await the judgment. And that's what we should all look forward to. And I've heard it said before, if we didn't have pain and suffering here, we wouldn't want to leave. We would just fall in love with the world. But we get a little bit older, and it's like each year, God gives us another little reminder. You know, this body is made for this world, and I've got a body waiting for you for the next world. And we all want to make that our goal, that we get there. So let's look at that passage again. Wednesday evening when we got to these verses, and I said, well, we'll talk a little bit more about this later. This is later, so we're going to talk a little bit about it this morning. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. That's a phrase that all of us should hope that can be said about us. The good hand of God is upon us. And why was the good hand of God upon Ezra? Because he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Friends, all of us as Christians, when we become baptized, we're a babe in Christ, but we must grow up. We must grow up and be ready to stand and fight against Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us, beginning in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And he tells us in the second letter that he wrote in chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So there's this expectation of maturity, of growing. God wants us to do that, and he will help us when we accomplish that. And we've got to understand, we are either growing spiritually or we are dying. There is no in between. We are either growing or we are dying. But when we look at Ezra, we see a man that has grown. We see the type of character that he has. And again, something that is pleasing to God that we should want to have in our lives. So the first point from chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra had prepared his heart. Think about this. prepared his heart. What does that mean? What does preparation mean? Are you getting ready for maybe a 4th of July celebration? Are you going to have family over? Sometimes we do that, holiday times, Thanksgiving, other times. We usually prepare a meal. What do we do? Do we wait till the day of and go and open the pantry and see what's in there? No, when we prepare, we get things ready. We put some mental thought into it. We put action into it. We put energy into it. When we go on vacation, we prepare to go on a vacation. If we're going to school to get an education, if we're going to college, we prepare. We put a lot of time and energy and study into preparing for what we are going to do. It takes planning, it takes effort, it takes time. God has a job for each one of us. What is that job? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I tell you what I pray for myself, though. I pray to God for Him to help me prepare for whatever work He wants me to do. And we must have that mindset in our heart, in our mind, that we need to prepare. Well, what do we prepare? Our heart. We prepare our heart. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So we see one of the functions of our heart is thinking. We need to prepare our heart to think right, because as we think, that's what we are. And I've mentioned it recently. I watch very little news anymore. I listen to very little radio. I'm very selective and intentional in what I put into my heart, because if you just turn something on, there's going to be a bunch of garbage just dumped in there, and then it's hard to get it out of your heart. You take a clean white carpet in here, and somebody came and dumped garbage all over it and stained it. It's going to take a lot of work to get those stains and that garbage out of white carpet. What's the easiest thing? Never let it get in there. Keep it out. We've got to prepare our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. All diligence, again, that implies that there is effort involved. Ezra prepared his heart. He put effort into his thinking. As the heart goes, so goes our life. Doesn't matter what it is. It's cause and effect. You put good in, good's going to come out. You put evil in, evil is going to come out. You put happy in, happy's going to come out. You put unhappy in, unhappy is going to come out. There's no trick to it. The trick is preparing. Now, let's turn to Luke 8 for a minute, and we have an account, the parable of the soils, that talks about the heart and different kinds of hearts that men have. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, and when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on the good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear when the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart and keep it and bear fruit with patience. Friends, we have here four different types of ground representing four different types of heart, and all of us are going to fall into one of these types of hearts. We might have a stony heart. We might have a wayside heart, a thorny heart, or a good heart. We have a stony heart, and something comes along, and if we could hear the gospel, the word of God, and that seed sinks in and it starts growing, but it's a stony heart, and at a certain point, it stops, and that is it. Or the thorny ground, thorny heart. The seed, the word of God, may come into our heart and start growing, but again, we don't give diligence to watch over our heart. And then the thorns, the cares of the world, the troubles, the riches of the world, they're going to choke us out. And that seed is not going to grow and mature. So our heart is key to everything. Ezra had prepared his heart. And I think that's why Jesus, in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, it all starts off focusing on the heart, having the proper motive and acting on it. And Jesus tells us at least two ways to guard our heart. They're real simple, and they make a world of difference in your life. In Luke 8:18, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has to him more will be given, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. So we need to take heed. We need to be careful how we hear. The second principle is in Mark 4:24. He said to them, take heed what you hear. What you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So we've got, if we want to guard our heart, prepare it, we need to take heed how we hear. We need to take heed what we hear. Why should we prepare our heart? And again, this is key, but this is the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You see, friends, if we don't love God with all of our heart, we aren't going to be acceptable unto Him. It's easy to have 90%, 95%, 97%, 98% to love God, but that 2%, we want to keep that in our back pocket for Satan. We don't want to give God all of our heart. But God is not going to accept less than 100%. And it's for our protection too. If we don't love God with all of our heart, then Satan's going to come in and he's going to distract us and lead us down that wrong road. And again, it comes back to Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. According to the good hand of his God upon him. Friends, I want the good hand of God upon me. I want to be on God's side. I don't want his hand against me. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:33, Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Why is that? That depends on how we hear, what we hear. So how are you preparing your heart? What do you allow to enter your heart? Is it prepared and ready to do the work of the Lord? Friends, God has a job for each and every one of us to do, and before we can do it, we've got to prepare our hearts. Well, the second point here, Ezra prepared his heart. He prepared his heart for what? To seek the law of the Lord. To seek it. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. How much value do you place on the truth? Now, a lot of people, I run into a lot of people that are content to hear some of the truth, but not all of the truth. And a lot of them, again, are not seeking it. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. We need to seek after the truth with our whole heart. And friends, when that doesn't happen in the church, what's going to happen to the church? Error is going to come in. Division is going to come in. Apathy is going to come in. Indifference is going to come in. And the church is not going to be sound. And we run the risk of Christ removing our candlestick then. You know, I think some churches don't even think about that today. But we can lose our name. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a job, and what's the tool that we use? The word of truth, God's word. And we need to understand it. We need to have it in our heart and know how to share it with others. A problem that has existed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, more than that, back to Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me, because you have forgotten. See, friends, if we don't seek the law of the Lord, we're going to be destroyed. And somebody will say, no, I like God's word. I like the Bible. And they look at it like it's some kind of magic charm to ward off evil or a good luck charm. But they don't have it in their heart. And if we want the good hand of the Lord to be upon us, we must prepare our heart. We must seek God's law. Well, what do we do when we seek God's law? What do? We do it. We don't just read it and say, well, that was nice. We must be busy and do it. Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? I posted something on Facebook a while back that a lot of people reacted to, but it was a statement, something to the effect that Jesus never polled any community and said, what would you like to see in my church? He never did that. But instead, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? You know how the big churches get big? They go around to the community. So many of these larger churches, these mega churches, these life centers, they go by all different kinds of names, not even with church on it, but they ask the people in the community, what would you like to see? Oh, I'd like to see babysitting. I need somebody to watch my babies. Well, I'd like entertainment. I think I like a good musical band. And they have all of these things that they bring in, and then they have big numbers in the church. I'd like to see this kind of ministry and this kind of ministry and that kind of ministry. Jesus never talked about that. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I say?" A lot of people, you have that phrase, our Lord and Savior Jesus. A lot of people think of Jesus at Christmas time, that little baby Jesus, as their Savior. And that's the Jesus that a lot of people want. But they don't want Jesus as Lord that we must bow down to and submit to and do His will. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." You mean, if there's something good for me and I'm not doing something wrong, but I don't do what's good, it's sin? Yeah, that's what James says, because we have an obligation, if we are children of God, if we are His children, and He tells us to do something, He expects us to do it. If we have children, we all understand that in the physical sense. If we tell our children, clean your room, take this outside, do that, and they don't do it, there's consequences. And we have a long list right here of things that our Father wants us to do. Is He going to make us do them? No. He's going to leave it up to us. It's our choice. We have free will. But there's consequences to whether we do them or we don't do them. And whether we do them or don't do them is going to depend a large part on our heart. And if we had prepared our heart. 1 John 2 verses 3 and 4. "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You know, a lot of people say they're Christians. I do this, I do that. A lot of people just give it lip service. You know, the easiest way to tell if a person is a Christian, it's not by if they wear a little pin or a cross or have a bumper sticker, but it's watching how they live. Because being a Christian is a life of doing. What if somebody says, "Well, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy with all of these other things." It goes back to our heart. And Jesus, again, on the Sermon on the Mount, He made it clear we have to prioritize our life. And what comes first? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus comes first, then the other things will fall in line. But if we put something ahead of Jesus, He's not our Lord. He's not our Lord. And the good hand of the Lord our God is not going to be on us. And we need to seriously consider that. Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." The tree of life, what's that talking about? It's talking about heaven. Who's going to go to heaven? Those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. You see, God has promised us this based on doing these other things. And when we do these things, then we have a right to that. He says, blessed. We are going to be happy. Why are we going to be happy? Because we're in heaven. We're going to be happy because we have found favor with our Father. And again, that should be our goal, to find favor with our Father. So we must do the commandments of the Lord. Are those easy? Or do we have to do all of them? Or can we just do the ones we like? You know, we'll go on a couple more chapters in Ezra and see that there are some really hard things that they had to do. One of them being making the marriages that they were in, making them right. And the way they had to make them right was to separate from those people they didn't have a right to be married to. and that involved children also, and that was hard. That was hard, but that was the law of God. Did God make them marry those people? No, it was a choice. They had a choice. All of our choices, there's consequences. We can't blame God for anything, because He has told us up front, you do this, I'll bless you. You do this, I'll curse you. It's back to that cause and effect. And it all goes back to preparing our heart. Preparing our heart for the job that God has for us to do. Well, so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. It doesn't stop there. It's not just enough to do it. And to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So once we have learned what our Father wants us to do, He doesn't want us to keep it to ourselves. He wants us to take it out and share it with others. Mark 16:15, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So maybe this is one of those things that we said, we don't know what the job is He has for us, but we need to prepare for it. Maybe this is what He's talking about. Is it? Yes, this is one of them. He wants us to go into all the world. He makes it pretty clear, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does this mean that I have to leave where I am and go overseas and start doing it? No. There's lots of ways we can do it. We can start with our neighbor. We can go somewhere else. You know, you talk about going places, and I've mentioned this person before, a boss that I used to work with, and it was interesting. I got a job in Cincinnati years ago. I was working in Richmond. This is like zigzagging all over the map. I was working in Richmond. Got a call. He was in Toledo at the time working for a company. I got a job in Cincinnati that was owned by a company in Denver. The next time I met him was in Denver. He ended up going to Georgia and then back to Dayton. I connected with him and I called him the other night and we talked over an hour and talked religion and this and that, and he'd been listening to my sermons from when I told him before. But you know, you can go all over the world by picking up a telephone. You stop and think about that. Getting on your computer. And it's amazing how you can connect with people all over the world without leaving your home. I can't go into all the world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe he's talking about the whole world and not just the Jewish nation. That's a possibility too. You know, a lot of people will say, I'm glad to talk to somebody that looks like me and in the same social level and financial level, but I can't talk to those people. Jesus says, share the gospel with everybody. Everybody. Every creature. That leaves out, if you aren't sure if this person's a man or a woman, every creature we are to share the gospel with. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So all of us men, we need to ask ourselves, what have we committed to someone else from what we have been taught? You know, somebody taught us the truth. They have taught us things about the church. They have taught us principles. Who have we passed that knowledge on to? Because, friends, if we don't, there's going to be a generation that grows up. They're just like back in Judges. They're going to do what's ever right in their own eyes. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Friends, we need to look to Ezra as an example for us today. We've got to remember that we've got to be growing. If we are not growing spiritually, we are dying spiritually. And you know, that's something you can't hide. You can't hide. You can look at everyone here. You can look at me. I can look at you. And pretty much, not 100%, but I can tell if you're growing or if you're not. We need to understand that. We need to understand we have no idea when God is going to call us from this life. And come judgment day, or back up before that, come the time that we step out of this world into eternity, we aren't going to have time to think about growing spiritually. It's going to be too late. The only time we have to think about that is right now. And where do we stand in the sight of God Almighty? Friend, you don't want to be like the rich man in Luke 16 and wait too late. And again, it's a choice. It's your choice. What are you willing to do? Friends, are you willing to put on Christ this morning? Give Him your heart. Live for Him so that you can have the right to that tree of life. Friends, if there's any way we can assist anybody in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.